Back Talk is an extension of the long-running award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk.
And I'm ready to talk back to you about this film.
All right. I want you to know, flat out, I really liked The Card Counter, which means that you are open to not like it at all or to like it. So I'm really interested, I guess, doing in the front end what we often do in the back end. Mary, what'd you think of The Card Counter?
I didn't like it.
So let's set the scene for everybody, and then I anticipated this might happen. Paul Schrader is the director of The Card Counter.
And writer.
Most famous for?
I would say Taxi Driver. It put him on the map.
Yep. And then Raging Bull after that, a few years after.
Did a lot of partnerships with Martin Scorsese, including, as you said, Raging Bull, Last Temptation of Christ. In fact, Martin Scorsese is one of the producers of this film.
Yep. And so is my son's boss, Jeff Rice, one of the producers. So, so it fits my profile for what I would like. I love Oscar Isaac.
Oh, he's tremendous.
Isn't he?
He's a tremendous actor, probably best known for playing Poe in the Star Wars sequel trilogy.
I know. That kills me because he's such a good actor. And he does actually make that role.
He does. And he's also in the X-Men universe, and he's soon to be in the Marvel universe as well. He's just an incredibly fine actor on stage and screen, and has received a Golden Globe Award for his role in Show Me a Hero on HBO.
And he should be getting an Oscar nomination soon.
I would agree with this role, but right, I still like the film.
The Card Counter sounds like I want to watch it because I want to be a better poker player. Is that right?
You learn a lot about poker in this, and Oscar Isaac does play the card counter, but how he became a card counter is really the premise for his character, as well as his interactions with the other characters in this film.
Yeah. He basically Abu Ghraib is where he... where he sharpened his interrogator skills and infamously was punished for it.
Yes, he serves 8.5 years, I think, in military prison.
Yeah, and then who gets to go free? Nobody but Major Gordo. Oh, that's played by...
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, who's a favorite of Schrader.
Very much so. He played Christ in The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yes.
And he actually played a very similar character to the main character we've referenced here in a film called Light Sleeper. Willem Dafoe played John Latour. Similar premise to the William Tell character played by Oscar Isaac here, in that it's a man tortured by the sins of his past and struggling with... moral issues in his life and adapts a lifestyle of moving through life but not actually being in life.
And it sounds just like a Schrader hero to me.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
Oh my God. You know, always these fallen guys.
Yeah, it's a definite theme, you know, where you have these... I heard Oscar Isaac describe it as man alone in his room, but I would say more likely man alone in his head.
He is great. As soon as you can adjust to his wrapping all of the furniture in his motel room, wrapping it and then securing it with twine.
and not necessarily explained. It's very, very true to a Paul Schrader film, these levels of complexity that don't have... obvious answers and easy answers and make you really have to think while you're watching the film.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe as a help to people who watch it, my interpretation is he's trying to obliterate everything from his past and trying to make himself secret to anybody, even casinos, that would want to pursue him.
I think that's a possible theme. I also think because it opens with him talking about how he never thought of himself as somebody who could adjust to life in prison,
right.
But he actually adjusted very well, yes. And liked the neatness and the orderliness of it and the repetitiveness,
yes.
of it. And I think when he checks every hotel room he checks into, and he doesn't stay at the high roller suites and the fancy hotels, he stays in the Motel 6s and Super 8 motels of the world that are on the fringes. And when he checks into every room, he takes the pictures off the walls, he wraps all the furniture in white sheets, even the lamps, so that it's all very neat and clean and aesthetic.
And if you remember some of the ritualistic Travis Bickle taxi driver stuff.
Yes.
I mean, they're both whacked in their own way, but he is... Isaac's character is so cool.
He's very, you really have to take a lot of time to unpeel the layers of his,
yes.
onion, because,
yes.
he's very, interestingly, as a poker player, his name is William Tell, but he doesn't give you a lot of tells.
I think Schrader does the telling. You're right. And he opens up some because he meets a couple of people.
Right. He's in this world that he's constructed for himself after prison, where he's playing in the, you know, not the high roller poker games, more of the lower level poker games, winning just enough and then walking away,
yep.
you know, just to get by, just to survive.
Yeah, he does not want to be noticed.
Doesn't want to be noticed at all. Doesn't really want to connect with people.
Yes.
Basically, in learning how to count cards, which, and then subsequently playing poker, is like watching paint dry. And it's used as a metaphor to kind of explain him and his character and this lifestyle he's adopted. But that gets interrupted by a chance meeting with a young man named Cirque with a C, played by Ty Sheridan.
Yes.
And by... a poker pimp, if you will, or poker,
yeah.
agent, played by Tiffany Haddish.
A little bit out of her range.
Out of her range in terms of, she's better known as a comedian,
yes.
and comedic actress.
Yes.
She's actually won a Grammy Award for one of her comedy albums.
Yeah.
Where she plays this agent. And she actually, I appreciated in this very dark film,
yes.
that she brought some light and life,
I have to agree.
To the story.
Yeah, I have to agree. She seemed a bit out of it for me in the context, but you're absolutely right, because that's the counterbalance that you need, because everything else is so flatlined and so dark.
Well, not just dark in terms of the dark place that William's character went in his past and now lives in now to try and keep the demons at bay, if you will. But then just the film itself, is it does not show the glitz and glamour side of gambling in Las Vegas. It is very seedy. And
I think the worst ones to come off are the ones in the Midwest. I know it begins in Atlantic City, maybe. But then he goes, and they're all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just characterless. And his camera usually stays back to allow it people to get lost. And at the tables.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Mary, it sounds like a film that could be liked.
For a certain part of the population, probably yes. But I liked aspects of it. I like especially Oscar Isaac's performance. But I did not enjoy sitting in the theater watching this film, and in fact was fighting to stay awake. And if you hadn't asked me to review
I know
it,
that.
I might have, yeah. walked out like the two people in front of me did.
Well, one of our mutual acquaintances shares your, I don't know, not dislike is not even the word, just kind of your boredom with it. And this is the very thing I love, which you know. I like the slow exposition. I love the revelation of character, not immediate, but distributed throughout. I do like this anti-hero. Seems to be a very modern guy in the sense of Schrader bringing it in, but everybody else, including Scorsese, jumping on that bandwagon of the, what did you call, what do you call it, the lonely guy in a room?
Oscar Isaac described it as the lonely man in the room, but I described it as the lonely man in his head, which is how a lot of this plays out. Yeah, I appreciate that you appreciate this.
I know. But well, no, that's why I love having you on, because I can count on, if you don't like it, it's always good for it's movie time to have that balance. Because I frequently pick movies that I think people will, both I will like and they will like. In your case, I can pick almost anyone, and you can either like it or not like it. So I don't have to worry about that with you. Well, Mary will tell me. So Mary, what would you advise our audience then?
I think there's a lot in this film to like, especially the performance of Oscar Isaac. If you choose to see this, it's only showing in theaters, and be prepared for going into a very dark hole.
Yep. And I would say on this one, it is a theater film.
Yes.
And so you can't sneak into Netflix and then turn it off. You have to stay with it if you're that kind of person.
Well, interestingly, the people who left with maybe 15 minutes to go in the film right before the true climax of the film and the true climax of the character. And I thought, I wonder if they would even care to know, like, because it turns on a dime and it's very unexpected and very abrupt, the direction that it goes and the resolution for this character, William Tell, and even for Cirque and for LaLinda,
who becomes his
poker agent.
Well, and I will end it by saying it isn't, the shots, which are short, of Abu Ghraib, are harrowing.
They're very harrowing. You know, and I didn't like the use of the fisheye camera lens to show those scenes, because part of it shows distorted reality, which I get is what he was trying to portray, but I found it an unnecessary mechanism in the making of the film.
And it adds a disturbing element to it. The elements of redemption, though, you don't find anything in that that's for his character?
I was rooting for him.
Okay.
Which is good, because I did, you know, he's such a internal character, and like we've talked about, it takes a long time for it to unfold as to what his demons are and how he's trying to cope.
Yes.
Not being in prison anymore, you know, and to a certain extent you start to understand that he's living the way he's living because he doesn't feel he was punished enough for what he did. And from that perspective, you know, I certainly appreciated it, and I started rooting for him to truly be redeemed. But where the film lost me was the very clumsy way in which Cirque and he meet, because they're at a seedy casino hotel where there's a global security conference going on.
Yeah.
And whether Cirque was registered for this conference or not, you know that William is not. And anyone who has gone to a conference knows that when you're at those conferences, you have to wear credentials, you have to register for the seminars generally you're going to go to. And the fact that this was a global security conference and anyone could just walk into a presentation.
Great point.
And that those
it was
two,
pretty loose.
Those two just happened to be seated next to each other and had never met, but Cirque knew from his research about his dad's past that this gentleman served with him in Abu Ghraib in Iraq.
Yeah.
That was just so clumsy. I was like, really?
I don't know if I'd call what I found clumsy, but it was clumsy, was the way in which our hero took to the boy and decided to help him out. I just didn't get that, you know. You know, but you're right, because most of this is based on the premise that he's trying to absolve himself from his guilt of torturing, and
what we haven't talked about is why Cirque comes into his life, is Cirque's dad did serve with him. Cirque's dad also tortured prisoners of war and did serve time. When he was released, he had what one would expect, a lot of problems dealing with that. Ended up being abusive to not only his wife, but his son, Cirque, and ended up taking his own life. Mm-hmm. So this young man in his early to mid-20s has a lot of anger about his dad, and doesn't look to really blame his dad, but then blames the Black Ops director, played by Willem Dafoe, John Gordo, and he directs all of his anger at him. And the redemptive plan that William hatches is that he's going to win enough money to help this young man get a fresh start and turn away from his
He's got
plan
student
of
loans.
Anger.
He's got
help him turn away from the path of revenge.
And to reconcile Cirque with his mother.
Yes.
So we have several plans here. I just thought it was an awful lot to come so quickly.
And I gave an awful lengthy explanation of all of that. And I apologize.
No. It's good to know that. Within this is Cirque's plan to make retribution by torturing Gordo.
Right.
And it's up to our hero to decide whether he wants to buy into that or not.
Well, and he buys into it so quickly. And it's like, why would he even trust this young man and invite him into his life? And it was clumsy.
Okay. And I think it was necessary to kind of leaven this story a bit, which was so dark, that having the young man in there and having La Linda, there really did help. It as did. Awkward as they might have been in fleshing them out as characters, they certainly were a welcome addition to help bring out our central character, who is so closed into himself.
True.
But I do like, and you had mentioned before, I do like the fact that he bets low, he wins low, and he's out.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the control that he loved in when he was torturing, when he loved that, or when he learned it in prison to control. There you go. Why would he? It's because he likes that. And Oscar Isaac is just perfect at that deadpan.
He was really wonderful in not revealing his character easily.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of that was direction from Paul Schrader. Paul Schrader, as a director, as I learned in interviews, has very short shoots. He likes two or three takes, and that's it. And this film, in fact, was filmed on location in Mississippi, and it started right before the pandemic really hit. And they were 6 or 7 weeks into production when they had an actor, one of the extras, was diagnosed with COVID, so they had to shut down.
Ah.
They were given permission to come back in mid-July of last year to finish because they were shut down like with a week left. So they did finish this film. You can almost tell when you're looking at it, the scenes that were filmed before and after.
Oh, good.
The All event right. of COVID.
Yeah.
But the way that Schrader directed Oscar Isaac in this film is very true to his aesthetic as a director and writer, but also I think helped with what you saw so wonderful in the film, and I saw certainly in Oscar Isaac's performance of just the slow drip of realization and almost bringing him back to humanity and connecting with others and seeking redemption for the sins that he just, even serving prison time, he couldn't quite feel he atoned for.
Yeah. And so the tensions that many of us like in film come from not really knowing how it's going to end up, and knowing how much our hero is willing to do to help this young man and to help his own guilt. So there's where I found where I like in a film. I like not to know everything that's going to happen. I like to be surprised, but I like it all to be consistent with the character. And I found that worked out for me. But for my dear friends who are much smarter than I, including you and Linda, I got that too. And so there, I think while I'm usually a big cheerleader for our films, I'm a cheerleader for films anyway. You
yes,
know that.
And I am too.
I know. And so therefore, I'd like to encourage those who kind of take my path, which is accepting anything that happens, and even if it's dull and boring or inconsistent, I accept it. You, however, have more rigorous standards, and I think that many of your complaints about this, we have done a service for those, really for cinephiles, who are going to want to see this, because this is, I believe the buzz is, it's one of the best movies of the year.
I have heard that buzz.
Yeah.
Can't say I agree.
Sure.
With it.
Oh, no, right.
But yeah. You know, there are aspects that make it a film artistically worth seeing.
Yes. And the film is called
The Card Counter.
And Paul Schrader is a director whom you want to watch. He has been around a long time, and he is an acolyte of Martin Scorsese. And Oscar Isaac is like Tom Hardy, one of those great new actors who I'm hoping will get an Oscar nomination somewhere. This could be it, Mary.
This could be. I think we're going to see a lot of him moving forward. We already have.
Yes.
He's been on Broadway. He's been on television. He's been on the big screen.
He's in currently a marriage, Something About Marriage, a TV show. It's called Scenes from a Marriage. And it's a TV miniseries. And that's based on Ingmar Bergman's film. And then I have a whole list of things he's involved in now going on, including one that I'm going to look at very carefully called, well, Dune is coming, and he's in Dune, apparently.
He is in Dune.
I mean, he's just, how do these people do it? I mean,
and during a pandemic.
I know. Francis and the Godfather, where he plays Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
How about that?
He's an interesting actor. He's phenomenal to watch. He's got incredible range. This interestingly shows through a very internalized character a lot of range and
yes,
a lot of depth.
You. Yeah. All right. So we know that Oscar Isaac and our director are luminaries that we should watch. And whether you see The Card Counter or not, you just know that it's there, and
yes,
that we probably will be hearing more about it.
Probably. And one last thing that we haven't touched on, if I may bring
it up, yes,
is this is a film like Taxi Driver in the scope of Paul Schrader's career that has a direct connection to a very recent war. And in this case,
thank you,
it's the War on Terror.
Yeah.
And it exposes an important issue with regards to one of our, I think, darkest, scandalous periods of our military actions, and that was the issue of torture of prisoners.
Yes.
And that is hard to watch, but I think it's necessary, even through this fictionalized version, for us to, as a country and a military, keep in mind and not only the damage we did to the people who were prisoners of war, but the damage that that caused those that were forced into, brainwashed into following orders to execute just really heinous things against fellow human beings.
And we're not even close to expiating that sin.
No.
But it does, you're right, it does help you focus again on the terrible darkness of that torture and the willing to, what do they call it, interrogation techniques. I forget what Rumsfeld or whoever calls it, and just get it offshore. And it's okay, it's legal, and when you look at this, and when you look at the scene that we both are impressed with, the scene in the prison, not in the prison, but in where he does his torture, when you look at that, it is harrowing, and I suspect it may be a pretty real depiction of the baseness of that. Mm-hmm. So here's a disturbing film that
see it as a matinee if you see it at all.